Well, hello there, fellow fantasy baseball nuts, and a very warm welcome to the Johnny and Josh Fantasy Baseball add-on show with my very dear friend, James Holden. Jimbo, what a week. Trade deadline is obviously the big story from Monday night, but even more important than that, my fantasy team is still in second place.
I think it's one of your fantasy teams, isn't it, JJ?
It's the only one that's worth discussing. You know how badly I'm doing in every other league. Therefore, I'm focusing all my energy, my commitment to one league.
It's going well. I am pleasantly surprised. Yeah, you're doing great.
A little bit better than my golf. I had a disastrous round of golf this week, so less said about that, the better. What have you been up to? If you've been doing anything enjoyable? I know you're back in London, back in the flats. You're sitting on your brave top.
I am.
Well, bachelor pad.
I'm in the bachelor pad tonight, but I spent the weekend with my other half. One final night of eat out to help out, so doing my bit there. But yeah, now family back to work. The UK beach tan is definitely fading, and I'm full on 7 hours of Zoom calls all day, every day.
So thank you for that image of the beach tan. I can just see you in a mankini or maybe your own personal speedo. It's not a pretty sight, Jimbo.
We can do that. Maybe when we review the season, we can find something suitable.
But it's times like this when I'm so glad this is an audio medium. But let's focus on the big story. Trade deadline was Monday night. Not nearly as busy as maybe, a traditional season. You mentioned that on the last show, that you didn't anticipate there being loads and loads happening. But let's look at it from a fantasy perspective. And I have to say, the one obvious thing to focus, if there's one team that's gone out and made a statement that says, we want to win this, and it's going to impact on their fantasy scenario, it's San Diego. They've literally gone and traded for everyone.
Absolutely, yeah. Mike Clevinger, Mitch Moreland, Austin Nola, Jason Castro, a friend of the show, Trevor Rosenthal. Absolutely, they've been buying in bulk.
Hey, and we talked about Mike Clevinger, who obviously I was interested in because he's in my team. And you were saying you didn't anticipate him moving, and yet they came in and made us both look like fools.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the narrative seemed to change over the weekend. From a baseball point of view, I think they're nuts. And certainly, I think most commentators would say, at first glance, the return that Cleveland got for Clevinger wasn't maybe as strong as could have been anticipated for a top level pitcher with 2.5 years of contract left. So I'm surprised. So I think maybe he really had sort of hacked off the hierarchy, and they were keen to move him. And I'm just devastated the Braves didn't step in there and get him, to be honest.
I 100% can't agree more. And just fantasy baseball aside, just talking about, who's come in for what. I mean, it's abundantly clear with all the injury issues that the Braves have had with their starting rotation that someone of his caliber would have been a great pickup. And yet they went out and got, what was his name?
Is it Tommy Malone?
His first outie, he got spanked around. I think he only lasted 2 innings. I mean, what was the point of that? It was just a total waste of money. Yeah, I don't see how he's made a difference at all.
No, but I imagine he was significantly cheaper than the Mike Clevinger. So certainly, although in terms of sheer quality at first glance, it was quantity. They did get a large bucket load of prospects and sort of fringe regulars for Cleveland. So, they know their prospects a lot better than we do. So maybe they saw something great. And certainly, there are some quite interesting prospects there. So 2 or 3 years down the line, maybe it'd be interesting. It just seemed an odd move for a team like Cleveland that surely are built for win now with the rest of their rotation.
Yeah, and obviously that's all relevant for a keeper league, but what I want to focus on is perhaps the more traditional fantasy baseball leagues, the likes that we play in, the auction leagues, the online draft type leagues. And how big a difference are these moves going to make, if any? I mean, obviously San Diego is perceived to be a pitching park, so presumably that benefits you if you're a Mike Clevinger manager.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. It's good news for Clevinger owners, but I think San Diego possibly a tiny bit better than Cleveland, but more for the fact that if he was going anywhere, it could have been a much worse place. Certainly the Yankees were very keen, the Braves were very keen, so were several other teams, the White Sox. But those places are much more hitters' parks. So as a fantasy owner, San Diego is a great place to go. The other two winners, as I say, possibly Josh Naylor, who'll become the Cleveland left fielder. He'll get a bit more got more playing time. I'm not sure he's particularly fantasy relevant unless he starts going. But the other big winner is Zach Plesac, and any owners or people who are rostering, I should say, Zach Plesac. He is now firmly in the Cleveland rotation, so ride with him going forward. He's had a great season so far.
Well, you say he's had a great season, but like Clevinger, he was on the naughty boy step, so he's missed a big chunk of time as a result. But he did have his first start in the last couple of nights, and he did look good. He did look like a quality starter. So if he's available, presumably if you've got a waiver budget, spend it. This is one of those rare occasions when it's worth a big bid, isn't it?
Yeah, if somebody did drop him because he'd been sent down for 2 weeks, yes. I'm struggling to think of any other player who may be coming up now that Gavin Lux is up, who may have as big an impact as Plesac for the rest of the season. Yes.
Yeah, and obviously since we are nearing the home straight, it seems ridiculous to say that given that we've only just gone past the halfway mark. But anyway, yeah. So which other starting pitchers move that have caught your interest?
It's kind of strange. There seems to be a whole new rotation moving to the Blue Jays. So we had Taiwan Walker move from Seattle to Toronto. I think he's a good pitcher, possibly a slightly worse park to be at. We know, you know, the Bulls were moving out at Buffalo. I'd be monitoring him in a deep league. Ross Stripling moved from the Dodgers to the Buffalo Blue Jays. Again, a good pitcher, not had a great year. I'd be benching him and waiting. Your very good friend Robbie Ray.
I mean, what did Robbie Ray need? He needed to go to a small minor league park where the ball's flying out. I mean, it's not like he needed any assistance. Been a flipping disaster for poor Robbie. He must have just turned and thought, what have I done to deserve this?
I completely agree. I mean, there is obviously a lot of talent in Ray. He's been very rosterable for many years in fantasy, but this year, the way he's pitching and the way, as you say, the Buffalo Park is playing, I would be putting him squarely on the bench if I had him until he shows something.
Sorry, Jim, just before you go on, with regards to Robbie Ray, the point I want to make is that you often see professional golfers who aspire to reach the top. Nick Faldo springs to mind, who was really, really good. But when he seemed to be at the top of his game and was competitive and maybe even winning the odd major, he made the decision that if I'm going to be consistently good and consistently number one, I have to create a swing that I can repeat again and again and again. And he went away and destroyed his swing and started again and went through a couple of seasons where he really struggled, but came back and became one of the all-time legends. I wonder whether Robbie Ray's taking the same approach, because his troubles apparently are to do with the fact that he's trying to create a more consistent delivery. And at the moment, it's just made things worse.
It's not working for him, no. It'd be very interesting to see what kind of a contract he gets in the off-season and where he goes and what kind of a pitching staff he gets to work with next year, because clearly there is talent there.
Well, if going to Buffalo is a disaster for any pitcher, given the fact that it does seem to be a hitter's park, surely going to Oakland is great news. And that's Mike Minor was one of the trades, Texas to Oakland. That's a great move, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Texas has played as a pitcher's park more this year in the new stadium. But I think Oakland, as you know, are doing fantastically well. So certainly in terms of wins, there'll be a lot more. Minor this year has not been the pitcher he was last year.
Yeah.
But again, there is talent there. And Oakland are going to get wins. So, yes, certainly that's something I'd be monitoring closely. And if I was a minor owner, I'd be pretty pleased with that, yes.
Well, if you're looking beyond Oakland for another pitcher's park, Dodger Stadium, obvious choice. And there's one big winner in the trade movement when going to Dodger Stadium.
Absolutely, and that's Tony Gonsolin. So with Ross Stripling moving out, we'd be wondering how the Dodgers were going to put all of their different pitching assets into the rotation. Tony Gonsolin, he's been hanging around on the fringes for a season or two. He's pitched very well when he's been in the rotation this year. Now with Ross Stripling gone, he's got a place and he should be pitching every fifth day for the rest of the season. And yes, if he's still available in your league, I would absolutely go rush out now, stop the podcast, come back to us in 2 minutes and pick up Tony Gonsolin.
You'd never encourage people to stop a podcast, Jim. That's really bad advice.
They'll come back. Pause. Momentarily pause.
Well, and therefore I'm going to offer them a tease before they do hit the pause
button.
That we're now we're going to be focusing on. Right.
Wait another 15 minutes and then do
exactly.
That.
That's
Tony will still be there in 15 minutes, I promise you.
Yeah. Most people's deadline's 4 p.m. tomorrow, so it's fine. Yeah. Mitch Moreland, you mentioned. Austin Nola, you mentioned, it felt at times, because you know both those players are on my lineup, that it did feel at times that managers were only interested in trading for players that were in my team. Now, that makes a lot of sense, because by definition, they must be good players. But beyond those two, because at the moment, we don't know what they're going to be doing at the Padres in terms of game time. We don't know where they're going to be platooning, etc. But there were some other big moves in the hitting market. And the one that I particularly noted was Jonathan Villar going from the Marlins to Toronto.
Yeah, so Villar, I mean, actually Miami were involved in two really, you know, interesting moves. You know, are they buyers or they sellers? Don't know. But actually, the move Jonathan Villar, he's gone up to the Blue Jays, as you say. And for me, his value has gone up, up, up. I mean, certainly, if Villar is leading off for Toronto with all of the wealth of hitters that are coming behind him and in that park, I mean, that's a fantastic value and a fantastic for anybody who has him in a fantasy team. And interesting to see two leagues I play in, people did trade for him this week, which I thought was interesting. But then if he's hitting only 6th or 7th, less so, but still, obviously, the Blue Jays Park, fantastic place to hit at the moment. But the interesting thing is, no sooner had Miami got rid of Jonathan Villar, they suddenly acquired Starling Marte from Arizona, which I think was very unexpected. Arizona announced that they wouldn't be picking up his contract for next year, and a very affordable, I think it's $12.5 million, $1 million option, which seemed bizarre. And actually, basically said, right, whoever offers the most, but by the end of the trade deadline, you can have him. So Miami ponied up Caleb Smith, perfectly competent pitcher, and I've got Starling Marte at a very reasonable price for the rest of this year or next year. But yeah, from a fantasy point of view, that's not an ideal place where you want to see your one of your, you know, more expensive or higher round draft acquisitions sort of ending up. But interesting from a real world baseball point of view.
In fairness, he's still a good player, and he's gone from a really poor team to a not quite so poor team. So there is a little upside for anybody out there that's managing Starling Marte this season to look upon that with some positivity. I'm trying to give a positive message, Jim.
As ever. No, I you know, I'm the realist. You are the idealist. That's how it works in this relationship.
Look, mate, I noticed you haven't mentioned the Rockies.
No, John.
Well, you mean, after saying, what was it, you said pick up Sam Hilliard, Ramiel Tapia last week, both of which were great tips.
I think Tapia
stole 4 bases in one night.
He did, I mean, he did.
He could have won you a stolen base category on his own.
He did, Johnny, yeah.
So the Rockies, obviously being the Rockies, acquire Kevin Pillar from Boston to confuse that outfield situation. We're recording this on Thursday night. I've had a quick look at the scoreboard, and not only, I think, has he stolen a base, I think I think he may even have a home run, a couple of RBIs. Happy days. You've done it again, Jimbo.
Yeah. I've recommended players who are now going to lose playing time to a journeyman veteran who was not needed by the Rockies. But anyway, moving on.
Okay. Well, any big relievers traded then? We focus on starting pitcher. We've done the hitting. What about the RP? You said that was the area where there would be some movement.
And there was. And there were loads of them. I mean, most of them are relatively inconsequential, kind of sort of bolstering the bullpens in the 6th, 7th, 8th innings. We'll cover several in the suitcase. Certainly, it's freed up one vacancy. But most notable, I think, you know, friend of the show, Trevor Rosenthal. We try to mention him every week. He has moved to San Diego as well as everybody else. And I think more interestingly, expected to be the closer there. I don't think it becomes a huge surprise when I say San Diego will win more games than Kansas for the rest of this season. I think that's a really interesting situation for friend of the show Trevor to find himself in.
Fantastic. Okay. Now, before we do get to the suitcase, which you just mentioned, which is proving to be a very popular part of this discussion, I want to focus on divisional standings. You've said to me how important it is in fantasy baseball, down previous seasons, whenever we've had these discussions, that you focus on teams that are in form. So not just individuals that are in form, but teams that are in form. And obviously, as we near the end of what is an abbreviated season, what teams are clearly going for it, therefore going to try hard every night, and what teams clearly, I'm going to pick the obvious one here, Boston, have just basically given up the ghost and are looking to get a first draft pick. Now, how important is that in fantasy terms?
It's hugely important. As the season progresses, you can really start to see some trends. So where we are now, I mean, Boston, you just mentioned, have got rid of, you know, about half of their starting lineup. I think primarily it's you're looking from a pitching point of view. So certain teams start being really easy to pitch against. So either they're just having an absolute shocking run of form. So, you know, Arizona, for example, they've only won one of their last 10 games. Other teams, you really start to see some quite extreme home and away splits. So you might get somebody like even Minnesota, really good team. Minnesota at home, you know, they've won 13 and only lost four. You know, I'm not streaming anybody in Minnesota, but away from home, actually, they've won 8 and lost 12, and that suddenly opens up an opportunity. So you're seeing that kind of stuff.
Houston's the same, mate. Houston's the same. Another really competitive side, a team everybody says will make the playoffs. 14-6 at home, so they're very dominant. Away, 5-9, not even close to parity.
Yeah,
bizarre, isn't it?
It's bizarre, but B, it just offers up. All we're looking for is these little glimmers of opportunity to gain value, see opportunities, etc., etc. And you know, just other teams like sort of Detroit, for example, who started off strong. Then we were saying they'd not been that good for a few weeks. Last 10 games, Detroit have won 8, lost 2. So I'd be looking at exactly those kind of things, seeing which teams that really seem to be, you know, putting the foot down at the moment, and maybe we'll pull out a few unexpected wins, and you know, I'd be getting behind their hitters too.
And here's one that really does surprise me: the Washington Nationals, the current reigning World Series champions. Not only are they bottom of National League East, but this is their home record. Sorry, their away record's 8-9, so it's almost parity, what you would expect. Their home record, the reigning World Series champions, is 4-12. That is horrific.
It is. And as you say, as Reading World Series champions, that's not where they want to find themselves. And they're looking increasingly likely that they're going to miss out the playoffs completely, despite there being 16 teams going through. So, very interesting.
I have to say, as fellow Brave fans, and you know, I always try to avoid too much Braves talk because we don't want it to dominate the podcast, but my God, if you're a Braves fan, how happy are you that the National League East is such an awful division? Everyone's rubbish. I mean, you know, it's the only reason we're doing so well, I think.
I slightly fear that, yes. We don't have a sensational record on the playoffs as it is, but that may come to roost again. So there's an awful lot of pressure weighing down the shoulders of young Ian Anderson, I think, at the moment. So,
Well, look, you're fresh home from your holiday, so hopefully you've emptied your suitcase. No more suntan oil, no mankinis, no selection of Speedos, all your multicoloured beachwear has gone, Jimbo. So come on, time to fill the suitcase with players that people might want to be able, or will hopefully be able to pick up. And I do remind everyone out there, our idea of a suitcase player is someone that is rostered in less than 20% of ESPN League. So you've done us proud in recent weeks. You've come up with some great names that have proved themselves very successful. Perhaps the most difficult one of the lot is catcher. You must surely be running out of ideas here.
Yeah, there's not. I'm getting it. Yes, I think like many fantasy players, very bored of catches. I mean, I've got a couple of leagues where I've got pretty strong. I've got Grand Island one and JT Realmuto in another, and it's fantastically reassuring just to have somebody who's playing there pretty much every day, going to bring in the stats. A couple of other leagues, I've basically sort of punted catcher and just playing the hot hand every couple of weeks. And it's even in a season as short as this one, it's been immensely tedious, frankly. But to give you a quick name, I think really for anybody in the suitcase at this stage of the season, you're looking for someone who is hot and someone and also is playing every day. So with those two qualifications, I'm giving you Jacob Stallings of Pittsburgh. He's playing every day, and I think he's been mildly lukewarm in recent weeks.
Let me ask you a question very quickly about catchers. I had a conversation, it was a sort of trade chat with one of my fellow leaguers, and was talking about trying to give him an upgrade in the catcher position, because I've got Austin Nola, as you know, who, of course, because he has multi-position eligibility, he doesn't always play catcher. He often DHs. He bats in the, five, so he's pretty much in the heart of the order. That's a lot better than most catchers. And I was offering him with another player for Sean Murphy. And the player in question said to me he didn't feel that was an upgrade. Now, surely that is an upgrade. Sean Murphy is, I mean, I know Austin Nola's come from relatively nowhere, but on the basis of this season's form, that is an upgrade. Please assure me that I'm right.
I think for this season, yes. I'd rather have Austin Nola than Sean Murphy, but I like Sean Murphy. I think medium term, he'll be a good, solid catcher for Oakland. I think catchers is so hard. People are people are so wary. I think last season with Mitch Garver's emergence coming out of nowhere, and then he hasn't been able to repeat that for this season. I think Austin Nola is this season's Mitch Garver. You know, it'd be interesting to see whether he still exists this time next year. In a fantasy relevance point of view, I mean. And sometimes I think people just, it catches everybody's least favourite part of the team. So I think some people just don't like to engage. If we've got somebody who at least is playing every day, they'll just leave them there and focus on the rest of the team.
Yeah, and you're very right though. You've got JT. That's the one everybody wants, because if anything else, he bats bloody clean up. I mean, the man is right in the heart of the order. How many catches can you say that about, except for maybe a healthy Gary Sanchez?
Agree. I mean, it depends. I play in far too many leagues, as you know, and there are definitely some leagues where catches I feel are undervalued, so I tend to actually buy a decent one or acquire one or pick one up in a relatively early round. In other leagues, particularly in two catcher leagues, catches can be incredibly valuable and go for an awful large share of the budget, or tend to go very early in sort of fifth, sixth, seventh round, and that's too early for me. So that in those ones, I'm absolutely picking up the scraps and whoever's hot. But yeah, this season, you know, I've got a two catcher league. I've got Austin Nola in one spot and Martin Maldonado of Houston in the other spot. Yep. Both of them are doing great this year. Neither of them did I, you know, pick up until two or three weeks into the season when I noticed that. So, you know, sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't.
Okay, well, let's move on to the corner infield, first to third, and I'm pretty gutted having looked at Brad Miller in our league and decided against him. You pick him up, and last night, what does he do? Two home runs, six RBI. Was it six or seven RBI?
Seven!
I didn't even have seven in my whole lineup. Seven RBIs in that extraordinary game when San Francisco, I think, scored 23 runs. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, last night was a mega event. So yes, yeah, exactly. Since St. Louis scoring kind of 16
for St. Louis,
and then Colorado, San Francisco knocking in 23 in Colorado. I mean, just an awful lot of RBI and runs for fantasy teams last night. But Brad Miller, yeah, interesting. I mean, he just hasn't slowed down. Whilst I'm saying Jacob Stallings is mildly lukewarm, Brad Miller is insanely hot. He's still only rostered in 12% of leagues. My hope is that through all the focus we've had, he was in the suitcase last week, he is in the suitcase this week. Hopefully we can get him over 20%, over that threshold this week, and we won't have to mention poor Brad Miller and his incredibly high average, his incredibly high on base percentage next week. And the other one very quickly, Jamer Candelario, the Detroit third base. If Brad Miller has gone in your league, I'd look at Candelario. He also is hot at the moment, and Detroit, as we've said, are on a bit of a pacey run.
Okay, well, corner infield's, I think, a little easier to fill when it comes to the suitcase. Middle infield's always proving rather difficult this season. Have you got anybody? Anybody you can recommend?
True. Yeah, there's one guy I forgot to mention last week, actually. I think it's really interesting. Sam Haggerty. He's the second base at Seattle. He's a rookie. He's playing every day. He's stealing a few bases. He's scoring a few runs. Again, I'm not saying he is a league winner, but if you've got a hole at second base, there's a very good chance that he's available, and he will. I don't think he'll. He won't let you down.
Okay. What about the outfield?
Outfield, quick one. Garrett Cooper, I think, is quite interesting at Miami. He's back from the COVID list. He's hit pretty well this week. He's got two home runs, six RBIs in the five games back. And again, it just turns to people who just turn up and play every day. Victor Reyes at Detroit, five RBI last night, playing every day. But, Cooper, Reyes, these aren't great teams. I'm not saying these are sensational players, but they're in the lineups. And if the teams are playing well and they're hot, put them in for a couple of days, see how they're going. If they don't do well, move on. And we'll give you some more on the suitcase next week.
And that comes back to what you've said throughout this season, throughout this podcast, that at the end of the day, you know, these are players that are you know, as you say, under 20% in ESPN leagues for a reason. And therefore, it's all about catching them when they're hot and being bold enough to drop them as soon as they become cold or even tip tepid, you know, move
absolutely.
On, find somebody
else. You're
trying
else. To get there at the beginning of the run, not at the end of the run. So, yeah. You know, as soon as you see them warming up, get in there, roll with it for a couple of days. If that run continues for a couple of weeks, fantastic, you've got it all. If they've gone cold, drop and move on.
So basically what you're saying is don't hang on to Colton Wong for the whole season when he's absolutely insipidly cold, and then drop him the night before he goes on a three absolute monster hit nights, and then pick him up again, having missed that little patch of glory. That's what you're saying. Don't do that.
Pretty much.
Don't be the idiot that does that.
Pretty much exactly that. Yeah, exactly.
I am jinxed, mate. There's a reason I'm called Johnny, because it's got the same letter as the word jinx. Okay, moving on swiftly before I get too depressed. Right, what about starting pitch? You've been great. I've loved your tips down up to now, and I've certainly cashed in on a few of them. What else are you looking at now?
Okay, two starting pitchers in the suitcase this week. Number one, Zach Eflin of the Phillies, 70% rostered. He seems to have found something. Certainly the last couple of times out, he's definitely pitching. He's always been a talented pitcher, never brought it together, but he seems to have found something. And he's got what I would regard on paper as quite an easy matchup against those free-falling Nationals that we talked about tomorrow night. And potentially if that goes well, he may end up being rosterable for the rest of the season. He's only going to have another three or so starts after that. But he's quite interesting. And the other guy I would be looking at is Dane Dunning of the White Sox, rookie. He's come up. He's had two good starts. He's rostered in 13% of leagues. You know, the White Sox are a really good team this week. They're playing well. They're going to get wins. His first two starts have gone pretty well. He's away at Kansas this week. I'd be looking at that one quite hard as well.
Okay. Now, it's one thing tipping up a great ratios relief pitcher. Can you tip me up a closer, a genuine bona fide closer who's out there and yet not registered in less than 20% of all ESPN teams?
I can do you better. I can give you a closer who's out there who's not even rostered in 5% of leagues, Jake.
All right. Okay. Who?
So Yoshihisa Hirano, Seattle. He's been on the injured list for quite a lot of the season. He's come back. He's fit. He's healthy. He's ready to close. And Seattle have just traded their existing closer, Taylor Williams, to guess where?
Not San Diego. No, not San
Diego.
It was San Diego. Was it?
Yes, San Diego.
What did they need him for? They've already got a closer. They've already traded for one.
He will be going to sixth inning or something in San Diego. So he's gone there as well. Yoshihisa Hirano, Seattle closer. He got saves for Arizona last year before being traded. Only rostered in 4% of leagues. Absolutely get on that.
Wow. Okay. I'm definitely going to be doing that as soon as we finish this. Right. We've arrived at the Hail Mary, my favourite part of the show.
I know it is. I feel the pressure, though, kind of, you know, weighing down each week.
Well, as you said, this is only 1% owned. That's the definition of a Hail Mary. So somebody that most of us have never heard of, let alone interested in, and you've got to come up with somebody who's actually going to add value. So who are you going for this week?
Okay. So this week, we are going for the legendary Jose Marmolejo.
Oh, what a name. Jose Marmolejo. Is he the special one?
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, very good.
See what I did there? Yeah. And who's he playing for? I'll be brutally honest. I've never heard of him. Never heard of him. Who is he?
I love this. I mean, one of these weeks, I'm going to make one up, and you're going to have to work out which Hail Mary did I completely make up this season.
Quite a good competition.
But it's not Jose Marmolejos. So Jose Marmolejos, he is a Seattle first baseman outfielder. He's playing every day, certainly against right-handed pitching. So far, he's got three home runs. I think with all the players that Seattle have traded off, I think they've got no reason not to play him for a bit, and he's only 1% owned. And with a name like that, why wouldn't you want him on your team if you've got
absolutely
a space?
Absolutely. And not only that, but obviously they've missed a number of games because of the whole Oakland COVID situation. So there's some extra games to be played as well. So you've not missed out if you haven't picked him up. Jimbo, absolutely phenomenal as always. I'll be looking forward to revisiting some of those tips next week to see if we've had any success. But meanwhile, buddy, stay well. Thank you for joining us on the show.
A pleasure, as always, Johnny.
Fantastic. Well, that's it. That's James Holden, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the Johnny and Josh Fantasy Baseball add-on. Great pleasure to have your company. We'll be back for some more Fantasy Baseball Insight with James Holden this time next week. Till then, be successful, be good, be happy.